I need to kill my wife.
Out of context, the best line ever.
Hello and welcome to the 15th episode of Between the Pixels. Roll your boat, I'm Jared.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Brian.
Life is but a dream.
And we're not bronies.
But we are bromos.
No.
What's bromos?
But we are homos.
But we do kiss. We do occasionally kiss on the lips. What's bromos?
It's a bro who's a homo. Like, you're so much of a bro, you're almost a homo.
You just made that up right now.
No, I looked it up on Urban Dictionary the other day.
I fact-checked it on Urban Dictionary, so it's real.
If you look at Urban Dictionary to find definitions of words...
If it's on Urban Dictionary, it's legitimate slang.
You may be a retard.
Are we going to make a redneck jerk?
Yeah, Jared, I couldn't imagine kissing another dude, especially with a beard like you.
What's that have to do with... You know, a bear is like a nickname for like a big gay dude? A big hairy... Well, not just a big gay dude, but like a big hairy gay guy? Bear?
A bear?
Yeah, I was aware of this.
Of course you were, Brian. You're all into that weird stuff.
I have gay friends. Leave me alone.
You're into the seedy underground of gay nicknames, like bromies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the animal, a bear?
Yeah, like, wow. Oh, that's like a cat, but like...
Rawr! No, that is a gay bear right there.
Like moo.
Murr. That's my cow sound.
So, I'm a bear.
So you're telling me that bears are big, hairy, gay men.
Yeah. Like the animal. The animals are big, hairy, gay men.
But are there any big, hairy, gay men?
There's nothing but big, hairy, gay men.
That's not true. Fashion designers, hairstylists, they are skinny. They are skinny, and they probably don't have much hair.
Thin and tight and sexy.
Who are thin and tight.
Tight. Yeah, like one of those leather things. Tight. You know?
God, I can't talk about this right
now.
They're
cut. Okay. They're sweaty. They're like working construction or something.
Well, how do you tell between a skater and a gay guy who's wearing the same pants? If only you got to see them wearing the pants.
What? How do you tell anyone's gay by looking at them? I mean, unless there's a guy attached to the lips.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're the podcast for Pixel Perfect. PixelPerfectMag.com is the URL. Don't really have much house cleaning this week.
New low score, like every week.
Yeah, not to say that things aren't going on at Pixel Perfect. It's just we have a bunch of news going out daily, but nothing to update you on. Other than, like, new low score.
Isn't that awesome webcomic that we have?
Yeah, where you read it.
Yeah. I'm trying to be engaging here, Jared, okay?
I'm trying to engage you here, Jared.
I'm being engaging. I'm letting them know, hey, there's this comic you read on our website. PixelPerfectMag.com. I'm looking at a picture of Devin in this cute little green t-shirt with a kitty beside him. Labeled Devin's Study Buddy.
What are you doing on Facebook?
Yeah, so whatever. That's all we got. Check out the podcast. Or check out the website. Check out the podcast you're listening to right now.
Subscribe.
You should subscribe to us.
Yeah, subscribe to us on the internet. Different places.
If you haven't already. And if you have, you should subscribe to us on a different computer.
That's true. It only works
you
on one
just
computer.
Use all your computers and all your different accounts.
Yeah, hook up all your computers and subscribe to us. Please. Hey guys, what have you been playing this week?
Son.
Make sure to leave comments. Even if they're negative.
I have been playing something that is well outside my normal...
Assassin's Creed Fallout rotation.
Yeah. I've been actually playing a first-person shooter, which does not involve much melee combat, i.e., Fallout. I've been playing Call of Duty World at War due to my roommate
forcing me to
playing it incessantly. He put a gun to my head and said, "Play it, pussy."
Wow, you picked like the worst one to play though.
I know, but I'm actually kind of almost enjoying it except for the epic amount of modders.
Are you playing the campaign at all?
Barely. I don't know if there's any point in playing the campaign. I'm just trying to get my skizzles up so I can pay the bizzles.
What? You're trying to get your skills up to play the bills?
Pay the bills.
Yeah, I want to play the bills.
To play the bills.
I want to play them.
Okay, stop trying to talk like Snoop Dogg. I'm going to understand what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying playing a first-person shooter because I've never really played one seriously. I mean, I've played with Halo, but I've never really gone and played online competitively.
Is this your first Modern Warfare game, though?
This is my first first-person shooter.
That's not true.
That I played a lot of online. Because I played a lot of Halo 2, but not...
Yeah, but he's asking, like, is this your first Call of... Your War... Your, basically, your Call of Duty... Is this your first Call of Duty? Is what I'm asking.
Obviously, if it's my first first-person shooter there, Devin, it probably is my first Call of Duty.
Jared's saying it's not, anyway.
Unless they made an RTS that I'm not aware of.
Jared says it's not. Your first
no one. Well you said well because he said it's my first person shooter at first and I was like no it's not.
Oh,
what was my first then, huh?
What you just said about playing Halo.
Yeah, that don't count because it wasn't online. Like I didn't play it online.
We don't
a lot.
Really specify when you're talking.
So Halo 2 and then just this one, so this is like your second one.
Well, it's my second one that I really okay. own, but
I'm just trying to get this
the
down
first one that I played I'm just trying online to get this down. A lot.
This is getting so complex here. This is the first one, but the second one, but the third one that I don't own, but I do play.
And you
online,
borrowed it halfway.
First-person shooter.
Here, just so you can cut all that crap out, this is the first first-person shooter that I played competitively and seriously online.
Brian, can you make a flowchart of this?
But
I prefer a bar graph.
Yeah, and I'm surprisingly enjoying it.
That's good. You play zombies and stuff? Is that what you like?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's usually how I warm up.
See, the good thing about zombies is it really isn't competitive.
Yeah. I mean, I play a lot of team stuff. I don't play much FFA, but...
So you said your roommate's playing. Do you guys play together? Is that, like, what got you into it, or what?
Well, he's using my account and my Xbox right now, and his game. Yeah, we like, alternate and things like that, and he's showing me the ropes. I was thinking about getting Battlefield 3 for both of us for Christmas, and, like, play that for real.
Wow.
But then I realized that, Activision is the most horrible company on earth. And I actually wrote a letter to them if you guys want to talk about
Activision
that now
and Battlefield
are not related.
Yeah.
It's EA and DICE.
Yeah, so you can still get it.
Oh, okay then. Okay, good.
And also, I mean, as far as Battlefield goes, it's probably best to play on the PC. Even though, do you have a PC that could run it?
No.
No.
Supposedly they fixed a lot of the issues.
Well, is there a lot of modders on it?
No.
Cheaters? Hackers?
Not at the moment, no. But that's not really going to happen because they're going to keep up with it. Unlike...
Unlike EA. I mean, Mike...
That
that's
is
like
EA. Brian?
Yeah, other way around.
Or unlike Activision. Yeah. Sorry. They like... I don't know. It's like you can tell who's a modder and a hacker and whatnot by their name because it's like they don't just mod the cheat, but they mod and like they have different colors in their names. Like rainbow flashing like a star from Super Mario or just... You know, red and blue letters and stuff like that. And you can tell they're cheating because of that. And then they start flying around the screen and they have like no clip mode on. You can't shoot them. Unlimited ammo. It's just
dumb.
It's very annoying. Like, why play the game at that point? And then they're using like one guy I was playing with. He was up like a mile above the game, just floating there, shooting people with a sniper rifle. Like, why do you even play at that point?
Yeah, I never got that. Like, when I picked up World of War. Way after release, and you know, probably, I guess it was sometime this year. And it was pretty much the same situation for me, too. You just go in there, and it's nothing but people modding and cheating, and it's just, it's not even fun. I don't get why anyone does that. I don't even know why. It's weird that those servers even, it's like the Wild West out there. Like, no one is controlling anything. No one's stopping these people from doing what they're doing. They're not getting banned or anything. It's weird.
And like, who even cares at this point? Really?
The thing that annoys me the most, though, is like there's not only modders, but now there's spammers, and you can't mute them. And they'll like type in like web addresses and things like that on the screen. And that, like, oh, it annoys me because I can't, it's like hard for me not to read stuff that I see. Don't know why, it's just how I'm wired. And like I keep on trying to shoot things, and I'm looking through my reticule, and I see words, and I read it, and I get shot. Like it throws me off a little bit.
No, it's super annoying regardless because your screen is part of your screen is being taken up by YouTube links and stuff.
And then the worst part is like, you know, they're not even good because they take like 15 minutes to kill you. In well, not 15 minutes, obviously, but they take like forever to kill you. You could like run up to them, stab them in the face twice while they're shooting with a machine gun, and they eventually kill you. It's like,
what kind of pleasure do they get out of that?
I don't know. I just don't understand the mentality. I'm all for playing games the way you want to play them. But, and I think it's funny to grief people, but not when you're breaking the game and cheating. It's funny to grief in other ways.
Yeah.
But that's just excessive, and at a certain point, it's not.
There's a difference between like lighthearted cheating and just like really annoying cheating. Like, if I was just standing there, if I was gonna cheat like that, I just like stab people and like walk around in circles and joke about it and jump up and down and get like 4 or 5 kills. I wouldn't really like do it to win and kill everything. You know what I mean? No one would mind then.
The weird thing is like people keep doing it. It's not like, okay, I'll do this one match and it's funny. People are constantly doing it day in, day out, leveling up and whatnot. It's just,
especially whenever it doesn't matter with a Call of Duty game. You're not going to go down in rank, but they just don't want to take the time to prestige and stuff because they're that bad.
Which is the fun part about it. Like, the whole point, at least for some people, I enjoy unlocking stuff and all that junk.
Yeah, that's fine. Just play instead of just trying to get through it so quickly. Especially World of War. I mean, that's such an old game. You said you picked it up just recently, and people are still doing that? That's really sad.
Yeah. It's like cheating on Halo 1 or something. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life?
Do you guys remember Crackdown? How they had in-game things where they asked you to buy this mission and stuff like that? Oh, it's just like that in World at War now that there's a lot of map packs out. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to throw 6 different games at you, and 4 of them will require you to buy the map pack.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think World at War map packs should be free by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I'm pretty sure you have to pay for Call of Duty 4 map packs still.
Yeah, probably.
And those will never be free.
They have such a huge base that are still playing it.
Sure.
Maybe if it was lower, like, I mean, I'm sure. Because even Halo went free after a while, and that was even when they still had a bunch of people still playing it. You just had to wait a couple months.
Map packs should never cost, like, I mean, I can understand them costing money for the first couple of months, maybe, so that, like, the people that want to pay can get an edge on everyone else. Like, I know this map before you. But after a certain amount of time...
If it hits a year, those most certainly need to be free.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because it really does break up the game, and it makes it not worth playing anymore.
I'm tired of going in there and having things, even in Halo Reach, just popping up like, hey, your experience would be better if you bought these maps. No, Bungie, I think I know how to spend my own money. Why don't you get that out of my face? I mean, Bungie's not as bad as Activision.
At least they don't make you like not play specific game types. There's only like one or two you can't play because they're dedicated to those maps, but the other ones you can all play, and if it loads, like, if it starts to load a map that you don't have, it'll just load something else.
Yeah, it just keeps going to the next thing, unlike World of War.
Which is nice.
Yeah, which it keeps you in there, which is, it's a terrible setup, and it's like Activision just stealing money from gamers. There's no other way to say it. I feel like they're stealing from me.
I get that Treyarch made the game, and a lot of people want to... You have the people who are like, Treyarch's horrible, and then everyone's like, no, Treyarch's always been under these certain circumstances and they can't make a good game because of it, but I still think they're horrible.
Well, I still blame Activision because they are the root of all evil.
Yeah, I agree.
They are the root directory of evil.
But they do make good games, sometimes.
It depends. Who, Treyarch or Activision?
Activision.
Yeah, but like the main team for Call of Duty, Infinity Ward, when they were making... When they make Call of Duty, they're usually pretty great, but now that Treyarch and the whole B team has taken over after the main people have left to go make Respawn, I don't know. I don't think any of the Call of Duties are good.
Well, that was from Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Treyarch.
I am. I'm saying Treyarch isn't good. They're not a good developer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they made Black Ops, and a lot of people like Black Ops, but even so, I don't think Black Ops lives up to the Modern Warfare 1 or Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. Or even 3, probably. So what was this letter that you wrote, Brian?
Oh, basically I wrote a letter to Activision just because I was bored and kind of pissed.
It's 4 pages long, size 42 font, has one letter on each one. It's the F word.
No, I was understandably upset due to what I was talking about before. And I just was bored. And so I wrote him a letter and I was like, wrote it to Sex Support because there's no way to get a hold of them any other way, pretty much. And I said, more or less, this is the problems I'm having with your game. You abandon your servers. You don't ban anyone. There's no one monitoring, you know, your servers. If they had one person on there for a day, one day every week, there'd be a lot less modders. And you got these map packs that continually pop up. Activision, the only thing you do is try to take more money from us gamers. I don't believe that your company has a place in this industry. And until such a time that I believe... that you are a benefit to this industry, I will do everything I can to support pirating every game that you publish.
Also, I'm going to burn down your offices.
Why would you let them know that you're pirating their stuff?
Just don't put your return address and stuff on there.
That's interesting. I mean, they probably received so many letters.
Probably so many letters from, like, diehard fans who constantly write them, like, you ruined everything! This gun shoots 2 times slower than it used to!
You think they get more negative things than positive things?
I'm sure they get more negative things.
Well, it's tech support. Every tech support gets more negative than positive. It's no one calls tech support like, you know, I just want to call you guys up and let you know that this game is awesome and it works perfectly. So thank you and have a wonderful day.
Yeah. In my 2.5 years at tech support, I had one person call in one time and actually say that to me, like, I just want to call and let you know I enjoy your services and everything's working okay. And it was the most awkward call in my entire life. Yeah. I didn't know how to handle it.
You used to be like, so what do you want me to fix?
So what's wrong, sir?
I should just be like, sir, I understand your situation. I'll try to fix it.
Did you restart your computer first?
You just need to settle down. Sir,
modem.
Calm down.
Unplug it for 30 seconds.
All right, I'll get my supervisor.
Okay, yeah, calm down.
I can't fix this. I'll have to send a ticket in.
We can give you internet free for 3 months.
Yeah, just start giving them stuff. I give up. I'm sorry, sir. You should go to Verizon. So, yeah. I want to disagree that Activision doesn't really have a place in this industry. It's not that they don't generate a lot of money for the industry. They're just not benefiting. I don't think they're benefiting the industry as a whole.
No, definitely not.
What they are is just a bad influence. They have a lot of influence to begin with, but it's bad.
Well, they're just a greedy corporation.
I'm just waiting for them to freaking respond to my letter.
They're going to immediately throw it away. I bet no one will even read it.
I don't know. I sent up tech support. Well, we're sorry that you're having problems with the community of modders, but there's really nothing we can do for that at that time. Please don't try to steal our game.
They're literally going to just... All the mail that Activision gets, they just immediately throw into their fire to keep it going.
Their fire of hatred and terrible games.
So yeah, screw them. You been playing anything else? Anyone?
Well, we can talk a little bit about what we've been playing if you want.
Yeah, this is a good time.
So yeah, we've been playing a little bit of Killing Floor and Left 4 Dead 2. Very similar games.
Very similar, but I would also say very different.
Very different as well, yeah. Well, I mean, Killing Floor, there really isn't an objective. See, I mean, I didn't think there
survive.
Was in Left 4 Dead 2 either, but yeah, just survive. Which, I mean, is still pretty cool, and I think for right now, for when you play Killing Floor, all the enemies are Christmas-based. You know, you have the reindeer and snowmen and all different kinds of
right.
Freaky, like, dark, evil Christmas people.
Right. So what happened, we're playing on the PC, and there was a sale on Steam, and they were super cheap. So we picked them up, and we were playing Killing Floor mainly because, like Devin said, there's a bunch of holiday stuff in there. So they have some different, like...
Do you like those enemies?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more
they're
fun.
They're pretty cool looking.
Yeah. You're finding, like,
neat designs.
Giant gingerbread men. And
oh, yeah.
Santa.
They have like a drill or something at the end of their arm or something.
Yeah, and just other weird things like nutcrackers, I think, and some guy made out of ice, and there's like little guys crawling on the ground with like... It's funny because they take some of the monsters or creatures that were in Killing Floor originally and kind of just reskin them. So there's these things that like crawl on the ground. They kind of look like necromorphs, I guess, from Dead Space or whatever, but they're like crawling on the ground and they just like strap reindeer hats on their head. So now they're just crawling around with those on and it looks funny.
Yeah. There's a bunch of elves too. That's like the main thing that you fight. Like the easy guys. They're just a bunch of elves.
Yeah. Evil looking elves.
Yeah. That game's pretty cool though. Although I had to say that we were pretty terrible just playing just us two.
Yeah.
We couldn't make it through like 2 waves.
Yeah. Well, To let it be known that I finished the original campaign when it first came out a couple years ago when it first came out, me and my friend played through and finished it, and then I played with Devin and he ruins everything because he's terrible.
You didn't help at all.
That was amazing.
Don't even act like you did. No, but we got to a match with we could play up to 6 people, and we actually had a full group of 6 and played, but like we joined with like on the 8th wave, I believe. And they just completely dominated. I really wasn't sure what I was doing. They were giving me a bunch of money to buy the weapons and upgrades. So that made it a lot easier for us.
Yeah, I guess we never explain for those who don't know what Killing Floor is exactly. It's just wave-based. Unlike Left 4 Dead, where you kind of have an objective to go to one place to another, this is wave-based. So like you have like 10 waves, And obviously with...
Is it always 10? Or that's how you set it from like short, long, or long, short, medium, or long?
I think. But you have so many enemies each wave, and it gets harder and harder, and then there's eventually a boss fight at the end. But in between waves, you have this trader that you can go to, and you can buy different upgrades and weapons and whatnot. It's all class-based, sort of. I mean, they have like healers and whatnot, but classes are pretty similar. You get little perks that change things, like how powerful you are with shotguns, or how your proficiency with certain rifles or pistols and stuff.
It's mostly just weapon-based perks.
Yeah, there's really nothing else other than that.
Because everyone can heal themselves. I don't know what the healer gets in particular, other than the fact that they can heal.
Just some
people.
Perks to regarding healing.
Okay. So I think I've only played the commando or the sharp. What was the sharpshooter?
Shark fighter.
Yeah, that's the only ones that I played. I didn't switch it up at all.
Yeah, but we didn't play a lot of that. But then we moved on to Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, we're a little late in the game for that.
Yeah. New game just came out, Left 4 Dead 2. So we just started playing that on the PC, and I played the first Left 4 Dead on release, and I was pretty excited for it, and I was actually kind of let down by the end of it. Well, wasn't really enjoying myself. But then picking up Left 4 Dead 2, I'd say I actually had a lot of fun playing. I mean, it's not my ideal zombie game, but I had some fun. What about you, Devin?
I'm just not into the hordes of zombies. Like, I never was into that. Just going, no matter what you're doing, going from one place to another. It's pretty much what this game's about, going from A to B, and maybe a little bit of objective in between. But I was never really into it. But this one is I think it's really fun. The different type of enemies and stuff you get to fight. Sometimes it can be kind of overwhelming. There's like so many zombies that come after you sometimes. But I mean, it's more fun than any other one I've played.
Yeah, it's most certainly better than the first Left 4 Dead. So far, I mean, we haven't finished it, but I like the characters a little bit better. I thought I did like the characters in the first one, but some of the stuff they say in this one is a lot more interesting, the little back and forth, little story tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I like it. Having fun with that. We need to play more.
I hope there's more objective stuff in there, because right now we just played... Well, actually, we're kind of stuck on the one where you have to go around and pick up 13 gallons or gas tanks.
Gas gallons or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much it holds. I just say that. Yeah, just 13 gallons of gas, and they're all spread out. And are we in a mall? Is that what it is? It's like escalators and stuff. Yeah, you're just in a mall. And then
Are you a mall cop?
Will Paul Blart mall cop?
You have to fill a car up for 13 gallons or 13 tanks that are spread out.
You have to fill 13 gallons up with cars. So, Brian, what did you ask me? Repeat your question.
What would be your ideal zombie game?
The Last of Us.
I kind of have two. First of all, The Last of Us. Definitely, if you haven't seen the trailer from Naughty Dog, definitely check it out. But The Last of Us definitely looks like very exciting. The thing that I want is something that's like 28 Days Later or The Walking Dead, which are different. But the whole point of those movies is not about the zombies. And that's what I want. Or whatever it is, the plague, the post-apocalyptic thing that's destroying the Earth. I don't want it to be about the zombies. Like Resident Evil, it's very focused on the zombies. Left 4 Dead, obviously, is very focused on the zombies. I just want the zombies to be...
You mean
the
story
reason.
Is about the zombies, that you're talking about? Like, you want the story to be something else, just the zombies kind of just be there? Or be...
Yeah, well, no, objective. No, the zombies are there. Like that's the reason these people are in this situation. But I want it to be about the people, not about the zombies.
So you want an actual storyline?
Yeah, basically. That's what. Unlike Resident Evil and Left 4 Dead and every other zombie game, I want an actual storyline. That's not about like where did these zombies come from. I don't care. Like the zombies exist. That's what's happening right now. So I want it to be about the people surviving in that situation, and not the horrible TV show Walking Dead, the actual comic Walking Dead. It's not about the zombies. That's just the situation.
And where can our listeners send the hate mail to you?
Nowhere, because they're probably too dumb to understand how to use the internet if they somehow think that the TV show is better than the comic. Anyway, yeah, so that's something like 28 Days Later, great movie, but it's not really focused on the zombies. It's about these people surviving in this ridiculous situation. And stuff like that, that's what's interesting. And that's what The Last of Us looks like.
I've learned not to go off of the premiere trailers anymore from Dead Island. The only hope I have is because there's a Naughty Dog sticker on it. That's all I see. And it's like, that's awesome.
It's not Techland,
it gives me
though.
Hope. It gives me hope. I get that. But that's the only reason.
Unlike Techland, Naughty Dog's a good company.
Exactly. That's the only reason I have hope.
Okay, so where can these listeners send the hate mail?
BTWNThePixels at pixelperfectmag.com. I will explain to you why you're wrong.
I like Justin Brennis at pixelperfectmag. Yeah.
Send it to our editor-in-chief.
Yeah, so we've been playing games. We've been playing an indie game called Night Sky.
Sure have.
Rather interesting game, that.
If you didn't know, each week we're playing an indie game, and this week we're playing a game called Night Sky, which is part of the Humble Bundle. It's the fourth Humble Bundle. Go to humblebundle.com, buy that. It has a possible seven games that you can get. Super good games.
Yeah, probably the best bundle ever.
Most certainly. It's great. And you can now get a full soundtrack to every single bundle.
I think it's worth the money if you just to get the soundtrack, because there's some amazing music in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've played two of the games that are in there, Super Meat Boy and Bit Trip Runner, and we're probably going to play most of the other games that are in there too. But yeah, so get that. But one of the ones we're playing is Night Sky HD. It's a very atmospheric, it's 2D, like, puzzle platformer.
It's very physics-based. That's the first thing I had to learn.
Yeah, you're basically rolling around this little ball and solving different puzzles, which sounds simple or like that's been done before, but this is done in a much different way. Different things where you might be manipulating gravity and acceleration and motion, different things like that to complete your objectives. So first of all, have any of you guys finished Night Sky?
I wish.
No.
I'm seriously stuck on the same spot for the past 2 to 3 times that I tried to load it up and play for like 20 minutes.
How far did you guys get? If you don't know the level, but roughly like halfway.
The Void is what it's called.
That's where I'm at.
It's the seventh one in, I think. The seventh level.
Wow.
Where are you at, Brian?
I had a small little problem with my computer. No, I don't know what was going on, but it was going really, really like unplayably slow, especially for a game like this. So I really didn't get that far in it, unfortunately.
It was playing slow? It's not very graphics intensive.
I know. That was the weird part. Something was up with my computer, I think.
Okay, so you're telling us that you didn't really get that far, maybe like 1 or 2 levels.
No, I got to the third or fourth one. I think the city.
So, what do you guys think of the game? Even though we haven't finished it, it's not a game that you have to finish to get the gist of how it goes, because there's no story in it. Obviously, it's just a straight up puzzle game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like boring, and it's not that they just increase the difficulty of trying to get through things, like they change it up. Like you said, like you mentioned before, the gravity thing, like that's really neat. When you press a button, it changes the gravity, and you go up to the ceiling, you have to move the opposite direction to go the way you want to go.
Right, but it's not always like that. It's different in each level. So there's some levels where you might have to change the gravity, or and you kind of have to change the direction of, you know, left is right, right is left when the gravity switch. There's a certain part where you can't even use your arrow keys and you're just manipulating the gravity only.
Right. There's you get dropped into a cart that moves based on like the physics of how you move left or right. It's how you make the wheels move on the cart. So those things are kind of like, they're really neat to move around and stuff in that. And try to figure out those puzzles because they get pretty difficult.
And it's very simple. I like the design a lot. I think it's a very simplistic, but it's a very easy to look at, enjoyable design.
Yeah.
It does get tough, man. Jeez.
Yeah, it gets pretty difficult.
Because at first I think it was a joke, because, I mean, even when I was on, like, the fourth level, and there was only, like, 11, I was like, well, it's not too bad. It probably won't get much harder than this. I could probably beat this in a couple sittings. But, like, that's just because when you play the first couple levels, I was going through parts where it was seriously just pushed to the right, and you can go to, like, the next screen. You know how it's just, like,
yeah, that happens later too.
Yeah, it does, but like, I don't know. It seemed like it was happening a lot, and I just kept advancing like easily, and then all of a sudden, I was just getting stuck at parts, and I was like, I can't figure this out.
Well, I think the point of that is it's not the big difference between this game and other puzzle games other puzzle games are very gamey in the sense that like you have different levels. And it's like, now you're going to be on 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, whatever. And then you go into it, you finish it, and then it gives you a score. And then it's like, go to the next one. And this thing is just like one seamless... It almost has like a Limbo feel to it. Yeah, just like one seamless adventure.
Just a bit,
from one to the next.
I like that better.
Yeah, I really, really like that. It almost... I don't like the whole feeling like I'm on a game show when I'm playing a video game. I just like something... Well, that's what it feels like when you're playing something like that, where it's like, complete this puzzle, and then here's your score at the end, and this is how long it took you. And
right.
Sometimes that's fun, but I don't want that all the time. But this is just atmospheric, and you just sit back and you relax, well, until you get frustrated. But listen to the enjoyable music, and just work on these interesting puzzles.
Did you guys try the other mode? You know how I asked you if you want to do the normal mode or like the more advanced mode where they don't have any tutorial or anything and they just say things are harder in it.
No, I haven't. But I don't even really look at the tutorial when it pops up. I kind of just ignore it and just I've always just messed around and try to figure stuff out.
My thing was my screen. Like I put it on full screen, but I still couldn't read the bottom of the tutorial thing when it came up.
I have the same problem.
Okay, I was just wondering if it was just me. I tried to change the resolution and stuff, and it wasn't fixing it. So I couldn't quite see the whole entire thing, even in windowed mode. So that's a flaw you need to fix.
So is this a game that you guys think you're going to keep trying to play?
Definitely.
I think so, just because I want to beat it. And I think it would be easy to beat. I mean, I don't, because there's not many levels, so I think I could beat it in a reasonable amount of time. It's something to do, especially when I like to listen to podcasts and stuff. It's nice to play that.
Yeah, I love it's.
Yeah, definitely.
It's such a good game. It's something that I'll definitely continue playing. So if you are interested in playing along, we're pretty much going to play a lot of the games from the Humble Bundle 4.
Yeah, so you might as well get it.
So you might as well pick it up right now. I mean, they're doing a fantastic job. They have over $1.6 million accrued already. They
that's pretty awesome.
They made over $1 million in the first day. It's crazy.
Wow, and that's. And how many days is it going on total?
10 days, I believe.
Oh, really?
Well, we have 8 days left right now, so I forget when it started.
But either way, I mean, you guys should go there and check it out. If you want those extra games, make sure you pay more than the average, which when I last checked, it was like $5.40.
It's $5.31 right now.
Oh, okay.
As of this recording, but I mean, it's subject to change, but it's probably not going to change much.
No, probably not.
The way it works is you can pay whatever you want, so you can pay a penny and you'll still get five really, really great games plus the soundtracks. But if you pay more than the average, then you will get the two extra games, which are also fantastic. So the five normal games are Jamestown, which is a shmup, and it's a really fun shmup. Bitship Runner, which we already covered. It's a platformer. Super Meat Boy, another great platformer. Shank, which is like a combat fighter beat 'em up thing. And then Night Sky HD, which we obviously just talked about, puzzle platformer. The if you pay over the average, the two extra games you get are Gratuitous Space Battles and Cave Story.
I just want Cave Story, really.
Oh yeah, I've never played Cave Story, so I'm super excited to play that. Do you guys want to play that for next week?
Yeah.
Sure.
Check it out.
Yeah, biggest donation is $250.
See if you can top that.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to talk about some news?
No, go away.
Some video game news in the video game area of video games.
So we can talk about the Skyrim mod first, if you'd like. Have you heard about this, Brian?
No, what is it?
Well, there's a Skyrim mod, obviously, for PC gamers. And it's a little janky right now, and it needs to be polished up for sure. But it's out there, and basically, if you get these files, you have to overwrite your game's config files in order to be able to use this mod. But you can actually play with other people online, so they somehow set that up. But the only downfall, one of the big downfalls, is that when you play with other people online, they look like the default prisoner avatar that you start out as. So everyone looks like that, except for you, obviously. And you don't actually see them walking around. They kind of skid places. You don't actually see their legs moving, I guess. So, I mean, there's some minor things, but, I mean, you could still play with your friends. I don't understand if you can find out who your friends are, because you obviously can't look at them and tell, unless it had, like, their name above their head. But there's other things, like they have a friends list, and there's a chat window that you can just drop in and out of the world for the servers that they have on. So it's a start.
I mean, I guess if this works out, I had a conversation with a friend of mine a while ago about playing this game, Skyrim Online, and I was afraid of them to do it if they don't do it right, it really does, I think it kind of has the possibility of creating a lot of problems, if that makes any sense.
What kind of problems?
Do you mean technical or as far as
enjoyment ruining? Level?
Okay. Well, enjoyment is all up to you. If you don't want to play with other people, then play single player. So only you would be making yourself not enjoy it, right?
Disagree.
That's certainly true. It's up to you at that point. But I think what he's saying, like it wouldn't ruin the game, but it wouldn't be enjoyable to play together. Like if you just added co-op into Sky, like everyone talks about that. Like I just wish there was multiplayer in Skyrim or any Elder Scrolls. But I don't think that's good enough. You can't just like say like, okay, now you guys can play together the normal story, because for me that I wouldn't even want to play it to begin with.
Well, it wasn't built that way.
Right.
It wasn't built to like play with other people. It was built for just single player experience. But that doesn't mean I would not enjoy playing with other people. Absolutely not.
No, I definitely would want to. But I probably wouldn't do it on my first time. Not my first playthrough.
And I probably wouldn't even join a server with like where you go into the major city. Or, like, you go into, Whiterun, and there's, like, it basically looks like Orgrimmar and WoW. You know, there's people everywhere. Like, I wouldn't want that either. I'd rather just, like, make your own
server. Yeah, like, server just play with a few people. And whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd rather have that than, like, join these huge, massive servers. I mean, it'd be cool to, like, try that as and experience it, but I wouldn't seriously play, like, on a server like that.
This is kind of changing it subjects a little bit, but what I would love to see out of something like this, I want to see a mod where basically, I can't believe I'm going to forget this. What in Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, what is that place? Oh, geez. What's that place that they go back to and defend, that castle?
I don't watch Lord of the Rings.
I know you don't. I'm messing, Brian.
I have no idea.
Oh, hell, man.
Or what you call it? That place? We have like this like guy listening to our podcast right now screaming at his iPod.
I know, I would be that guy normally. I can't believe I can't.
I'm that guy.
I am that guy.
You're gonna be screaming at this podcast after it's released, being like, "Oh my god, I'm such an idiot."
I keep every time I think Helm's about Deep? Something, all I can Helm's Deep. Yeah, thank you. All I could think of like Skyrim names.
You were thinking Helgen, weren't you?
Yeah, that's. I'm just thinking like all these different Skyrim names. Anyway, I would love to like be able to recreate Helm's Deep. How much fun would that be?
Fighting? In Skyrim?
Yeah, like what if someone made a mod like that could handle a server and with all those people shooting all those arrows and all that stuff? That'd be pretty hard.
So you basically were playing a Lord of the Rings level in Skyrim, what you're saying.
Well, I mean, just put it somewhere in Skyrim, but that's the idea. I want to have people defending this giant castle and all these other people rushing it, trying to take it. How much fun could that be? Like some of that story, that story element, or what if someone put in a thing where, and this is where it could really get fun, if they would develop it where let's say, I mean, a lot of this would have to rely on people, you know, staying in the game and actually playing for a while. But what if you had everyone had like different? There's 9 different holds. What if everyone had their own hold, and you could choose to like attack? You know, maybe have like 40 guys defending your hold. Another one has like 60 guys defending their hold. But you decide that you want to try to take over their hold.
So then you're basically playing a town guard?
Well, you don't have to... Well, whatever. Who cares what you're playing exactly? I'm talking more strictly like multiplayer-based stuff. Not like co-op playing the story, but like PvP stuff. To where you're trying to defend and you know, keep your villagers alive and not allow anyone to take over your town and your hold. But you could go out and venture and stuff like that if you want. But you also still have like a hold that you need to protect. And maybe like as you're out adventuring or whatever, you might see people from other factions, from other holds, and you could battle them if you want to or not. It's almost like an MMO, but maybe more story driven and not really an MMO. Do you get what I'm saying at all?
So it's a Namamo?
Yeah, Namamo. It's an Indian MMO.
So what kind of game would it be then if it's not really an MMO?
Well, it's just an online game. It doesn't have to be Just because it has more people doesn't make it an MMO.
But is it going to be like matches, or is it going to be like an ongoing
thing? No. It's just like one server, and it's just the whole world's accessible. But
so your place could be like taken over, and then like, then what?
Well, then you don't have a hold anymore. So I don't know. I haven't thought out all the details. I just thought of it right now.
Jared, you're supposed to be pitching me this game. Come on.
Okay. You're a prisoner. You wake up. You're on a boat. You say, I need a weapon. Let's finish the fight. I just think stuff like that would be interesting to, because I like the combat in Skyrim a lot, even though it is kind of janky in some ways, but I really enjoy it. And I think it would be fun to just have like these huge battles against other people in different, like when I'm thinking about different places, you know, people just like trying to attack Solitude or Whiterun, you know, something like that. And
well, maybe they could do something along the lines of they would make like a separate server. It would be a cool mod. And you're basically playing, you know, you get to choose Stormcloaks or Imperials, and you do the whole Civil War thing.
Yeah,
except
something
it's
like
for
that.
Like every single fast travel location, or at least every fort and hold. And you're always trying to, you know, whoever has more people in the town is technically owns it, and you're always fighting.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Or, you know, maybe you get to log in once per battle, and you just go through it. I don't know, or something.
If you could log in and then choose to be like a father of a child, and your wife died in battle, and you're just like playing like The Sims in a house.
What if you could just be like a little kid and you walk around and be like, I help my mom sell vegetables at blah blah blah. I'm
what
annoying
if you
kid.
Could just sit
you
there and
play tag,
tag
with me?
All day long?
I knew Brian was going to say that.
What if you could just be that NPC that walks around and waits for adventurers to get into like some story dialogue with someone, then walk into them and start telling some stupid story, and now you're trying to focus really hard on listening to what the other person's saying, but you can't because you have like three NPCs talking at the same time?
They always have something to say, Jared.
That's the worst, though. Like, I'm standing there talking to someone, and one bumps into me, and they're like, hey, I blah, 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 blah. It's like, shut up.
You know what I hate? Like, when they do that, though, and you walk into your house while they're still talking to you, they will follow you into your house.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? The funny thing was, though, is I put a rune at the foot of my door as kind of a joke security system, and freaking cat.
Brian, you would make a security system.
Yeah, I know. Shut up. I'm a noob. You know, I'm a loser. But the town guard followed me in and blew himself up, like, halfway. And so now everyone at Rightrun's trying to kill me. Because a stupid town guard decided to walk into my house.
Yeah, that's his fault.
Yeah, you can't just walk into somebody's home.
They do it all the time.
I know.
I need to kill my wife.
Out of context, the best line ever.
In Skyrim?
But also in Skyrim.
Okay.
I do. She's ugly. And really, let's be honest, ugly women need to die. And
you know, like, anyone you marry, Jared, basically has a house, so you just failed at that one.
Oh, yeah, I had no idea. That was my first time doing it, so I
except
I,
for
I AL, no
Ayla does not have a house, but she has that little room, which you get to have in the companions, in the champions.
Does every woman you marry have some type of income that I can take?
I think so. You can look up the wiki. I think at least most of them open up a shop.
They just immediately open up a shop when you get married?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Some of them you can actually, they're actually really useful, like Marco, if you want to either have a gay marriage or be a woman. Marco's a apprentice wizard mercenary. He's actually one of the more powerful people that follow you. He just like kills dragons with spells and just like rips them apart.
Marco.
He actually opens, I think he opens up a shop and you can actually sell stuff to him. While you're adventuring, and I don't think it adds to his inventory weight. So you basically just sell, if you're full, you just sell a bunch of stuff to him, the person following you. And then you can be like, okay, we'll carry the rest of the shit.
That's pretty cool. So yeah, Skyrim Online, multiplayer, would you guys, right now it's just like a co-op sort of thing, but does that interest you at all?
That's what I want. I want the co-op experience. I don't want the online, really. I mean, as far as tons of people.
I don't know if I want competitive in that game, really. I mean, it would be fun. I mean, at least if you could hit each other, like there was friendly fire. And so if you decided that you wanted to see who was the better player at the game, you could.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have it more like a Fable 2 experience, if that makes any sense. I don't know if you guys ever played Fable 2 online.
I know what you mean, though.
Basically, you just bring someone else into your world, and they play as a quote-unquote hired mercenary. But it would have to be that the character looked like the thing you made, otherwise it's pointless. In Fable 2, it just looked like a random person.
this is actually, I pretty much don't like any PvP stuff. I'm not big on that kind of multiplayer. I really do love co-op, but this is one game where I really have little desire to play co-op at all.
You wouldn't play with us co-op.
I would play after I finished everything I wanted to do in the game. That's the only way, because it's just one of those games that you play by yourself, you get sucked in, at least for me, I get sucked into the world, I play by myself, and I enjoy that time playing it by myself and kind of just playing it in that world. When you play with someone else, it immediately takes you out of the world, at least for me.
What if we played co-op together, played this together, but didn't talk to each other?
That would be pointless.
That'd be counterproductive, Devin.
It'd just be like we didn't have mics. You just still get engrossed in the world, but just know that you have a companion. It'd just be like having a companion, but that was better.
Maybe, yeah. But I mean, that seems hard. We would still talk in some way.
No, we wouldn't even have our mics hooked up.
You could walk up to each other, press the X button, and have inane dialogue.
Oh yeah, you can do whatever you want. Would we just be in the same world together?
No. But think about it. Like when you're in a co-op game, there's times where like you want to go quest or do these things. Sometimes I just want to sit in an area and like try to shoot. I don't know, little kids in the head with arrows or something like that, or just do something stupid like try to shoot fruit for no reason.
Well, I sit there. I do that same stuff too. When someone's sitting there shooting an arrow and they're like missing terribly, I like go way way back and line up a shot and be like, "Haha, you suck."
You're trying to.
Show up an NPC.
The NPC.
Yeah, I talk trash to NPCs. Leave me alone.
It just wouldn't work for me. I unless I finish the game already, it's not something I would want to do. But the multiplayer aspect of it, and now just to make this clear, anyone who makes us now we joke around about it on here sometimes, but we don't really think that like someone's better than someone else at this game because there's not like any skill in that sense. Like you're dumb if you think that like they could just add multiplayer. And then it'd be like it's not balanced to mm-hmm. decide who's more who's a better player at whatever it is you're trying to prove. But I think it would be a lot of fun if they didn't make it like super competitive, and it was more just like it's not about like, hey, upgrade perks, do this, do that. If it was just strictly like, hey, we created these crazy scenarios for you guys to play out together, like these crazy huge battles and stuff like that, I think that would be awesome. Imagine having just like this huge line, like meeting on a field somewhere and having like a huge row of archers that are real players and having like a huge row of warriors and you have mages and just all this stuff. And then you just go to battle and just have like these massive battles.
I thought the same thing kind of too, but I've also thought of something really like dumb, but I have to share it because whatever. But I thought about what if you were playing hide and go seek with someone else, like even like in a certain town or
in
like,
the entire even, world.
Yeah. Like how fun would that be? Like to do it once.
That'd be very frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially it'd be both ways. If you're hiding and just had to sit somewhere for like hours and if you had to search for somebody.
If it was in a town, actually stuff like that could be, the thing about Skyrim and is that it's such a sandbox that you could do stuff like that. So what if they had up to 8 player, multiplayer, whatever, and you guys just decided, okay, we're going to play hide-and-go-seek in the town of Solitude or whatever, and then you kind of just, everyone goes and hides, and then someone has to go around and find the other people. That could maybe
be
fun.
Yeah, that'd
be
fine.
You'd have to keep it to a hold, though, otherwise it wouldn't be epic, and, like, no dungeons, or maybe even in a dungeon, like one of the ruins, the ancient Nord ruins, something like that, playing hide-and-go-seek one of those. There's a lot of nooks and crannies and stuff like that.
Hey Bethesda, why don't you get on this hide and seek thing? Can you get some hide and seek DLC going on?
And it would be cool too if like the way you tagged someone else is when you snuck up behind them and did a sneak attack to kill.
Do you
them.
Think you could add Griffball into this?
Dude, I know a guy who's really really good at Griffball.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of possibilities though for the multiplayer. It's just personally, co-op's just not something I care about. I think crazy battles. And stuff like that would be cooler.
Crap, I'm gonna have to find play somebody else.
Shut up, Devin. I'll try it.
You shut up.
Let's move on. We'll get to the Vita in a minute. You want to talk about Witcher 2? Devs cracking down.
Sure. We can talk a little about Witcher 2.
On
Yeah, they're suing people, for pirating their game, and they're serious about it, and they're charging you $1,230 in Germany at least. That's what they said when they found people, and people were afraid that they're just like finding people's IP addresses and saying and like charging them with it for pirating. But no, they claim that they're seriously finding like the right people. I guess the big thing was like they're going to charge the wrong people who actually didn't pirate, but I guess they say that they are charging the right people.
Well, what they're saying is VP of Business Development Michael Nowoski says that we're addressing only 100% confirmed piracy causes that are 100% possible to prove. We're not worried about tracking the wrong people, as this is the trade secret of the company working on this. I cannot share it. So how they're coming to this exact, who knows?
Look, we can't tell you. It's secret.
CD Projekt isn't really a company that screws over their. I mean, The Witcher and Witcher 2 are really good games, have a lot of content, and do have a really solid user base, but The Witcher 2 was pirated like crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Which sucks, because yeah. It is such a good game. It doesn't deserve to be pirated. Pirate Activision games. Don't pirate, you know, good developers like this.
That's kind of why they had to do it.
But that's just a crazy amount. $1,230.
Yep.
I would love to understand where, like, what is your logic? Like, I pirated a $60 game from you, and now I owe you $1,230. I understand there's, like, a fine on top of that and so on, but what's the logic there?
Fines can be really expensive as far as pirating goes.
I get that they're trying to make a statement, and that's cool and all. You know, go ahead, slam them for what they're doing. That's fine. I have no problem with that. It just seems like you got to make it more than a slap on the wrist, but you also don't have to. I imagine,
you know, like a $600-$700 fine is. I mean, that's even like maybe $1,000 tops, but
even $1,000. Like if they said like $500, I'd be like, well, I'm not pirating again. You know, that would be something that would. Yeah, if I got slapped with a $500 fine for pirating, why would I ever want to risk
they
that?
Ban you, they kick you off the internet for 6 months.
They cut off your thumbs.
I mean, I'd do it again because I've already gotten more than $500 worth out of it.
Yeah, but what if they caught you for every single game that you pirated ever?
That's different.
No, yeah, you're getting. I'm talking $500 for one game.
Oh, I thought you just said that you got charged for one game that you would never pirate again. But if they found all the
if I got charged for one game.
Yeah, not a big deal, because then it just paid for itself.
No, not at all. What if I pirated, like, Superman 64 or something stupid? You know, something that I would not even care about.
What I'm saying is, out of all the times that you never did get caught, add up all that money, and it's probably more than the $500 you pay one time.
But that doesn't get me anywhere, because I didn't actually get anything out of it. I just paid $500 for nothing. I don't have the physical
box. It'd be like as if you bought the game.
And now you have a criminal record.
Yeah, and now you have a criminal record. I most certainly would not continue to pirate after that. No way.
But is that too much of a fine, though, do you think, Jared?
The $1,200?
No, $500. I mean, that's kind of standard.
Well, that one chick
that got caught
for downloading like an album from that whole thing, to make that statement, she got charged like $1,000,000.
Yeah, that one lady got charged that insane amount of money for like 13 songs or something.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, at that point, though, you do have the option of serving jail time instead of paying.
Or committing suicide.
Or you can kill yourself.
I'm all for, like, slapping them on, more than slapping on the wrist. You know, putting in their brain that, like, hey, don't steal our stuff. And you know, have to put fines or whatever on top of that. But $1,200 for your $60 game, which you can get a lot of playtime out of The Witcher and The Witcher 2, but that's just a lot of money.
It's just a punishment, though. It's not the fact that it's only worth $60 and you get a lot of playtime out of it. It's a punishment.
No, but that is the point. If it's $60 and you want to punish me, it's one thing, like, if I steal, like, something that's worth, like, $500 and you're going to make me pay for that plus, you know, double that or whatever. I don't know. But, like, if I'm paying $60... I think the average person wouldn't even want to be paid. Like, what if your fine was just like $200, and then once you're caught once, who's to say that they're not just like watching you?
Yeah,
you know, it's something where you can be caught again. You keep getting caught, $200. You know,
well, after a second time, then I'd probably be like, okay, I better stop this.
Yeah, but no, regardless, like, I don't think there's any justification for $1,200. I don't care what they say or who it is. Unless you've actually stolen, you know, at least half of that from one game. So unless they pirated The Witcher 2 100 times, then I don't think.
Well, I think it should come down more to how many times they've seeded it to other people.
Like 10 times. Holy crap. What is it, 100?
I think that's comes down to more the issue is the seeders as a people that are giving the files out than the actual downloaders, if that makes any sense. Do you know what I'm getting at with that?
Yeah, I know what seeding and downloading is.
No, but do you know why? And does that make sense to you?
Yeah. No, I get that. It's just, and that's fine, whoever it is, because you're sharing it or you're downloading it, either way, you're in the wrong. And I'm fine with punishing them, but it's just, that's a little crazy. It doesn't matter. Like, I get that it's a punishment. It's just a little too much. It's like too far. It's like in another country, if you steal an apple, you get like a hand
chop
cut off
your hand.
Yeah. Like, it's fine to get in trouble for that. You don't deserve, like you were telling us before, like the teacher with the drunk driving. Drunk driving is wrong. If you get caught, you need to be nailed to the wall. But, like, you don't deserve to die for driving drunk. Like, that's extreme. So, like, this is just extreme. This is too far. This is, like, killing, is basically what I'm saying. They're murdering people. The Witcher 2 devs are murdering people for downloading their game.
I'm sure you'd get a pretty hefty fine if you were stealing, say, a laptop from Best Buy and you got caught.
That's a laptop, not a video game.
Yeah.
Okay, say you were stealing a video game from Best Buy. I'm pretty sure you'd get a pretty hefty fine from that.
But I bet it wouldn't be over $1,000.
Maybe not, but I'm sure it'd be a couple of $100.
Yeah.
I think cybercrime should be considered monetary value-wise the same as retail theft.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I don't see why it should be considered worse, because it's not. Just because it's easier and a bit safer doesn't mean it's worse.
Well, I mean, they know, somehow they get numbers, right, that they, I don't know, I've read that people get numbers of how many times it's been torrented,
yeah,
you know, or pirated, right? So somehow they have numbers, so they know, like, all these people were torrenting, so they had to charge this huge price for the few that they catch, whereas if you steal from a store, you're the only one that stole it that they know of, unless there's, like, people, you know, taking inventory and they see that somewhere being stolen, but there's only one person that stole that copy, and that's you. So they're going to charge you. That's not going to be nearly as much. But they have to make up for all these people, supposedly, that are stealing their product.
But that's messed up.
Well, I'm not going to say it's not messed up, but I mean, that in a way, that makes sense.
I wouldn't say it makes sense, but I see what they're doing. Well, all these people pirated from us, so
the few that they can catch, they're going to get their money worth. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that it's not terrible that they pirated their games. That sucks. I'm not saying that doesn't suck. You know, you worked hard on this thing. You put a lot of money and time into it. And it's great that people enjoy it, but you're not seeing any monetary compensation for it. That sucks. However, those people are in the wrong. It's just, they should be punished, yes, but it's just too far at a certain point, and that's where they're taking it with this. I'm not for it.
Oh, no, of course I'm not for it.
Yeah, that's because you like free games.
Why can't they just do things like Serious Sam did? I mean, just put things in there that kind of make the game unplayable.
Yeah, that's great. That's a smart idea.
Exactly. I don't know how they did that, but I don't understand why more games.
I was gonna
don't
say
do
how
that.
I don't even know how they could do that though.
I'm not no even idea. Sure either.
Because you think if they know how to do that, why can't they just make you stop playing it, not be able to play it?
Because I think it's a funnier way to handle it.
What else is there? You can talk about the ridiculous pricing of some DLC recently?
Yeah, let's talk about another thing, another great company like EA.
Yeah. Well, I think Derek was the one who suggested about playing Need for Speed World a while back when it first came out. And that was supposed to be like this huge open world racing, obviously racing game, for free, right?
Yeah.
So now they're trying to make you buy DLC, and they're going a little bit off in the deep end by selling some amazing car for $100 worth. This is a virtual car, remember, $100.
Well, it's discounted until December 21st for $75. So if you want to pay $75 for a stupid elite
edition. I can't
even
pronounce that thing.
Of something, I don't even know what kind of car it is.
Koenigsegg CCX Elite Edition.
I might pay $50 if I think
no.
the game is worth buying.
No,
and it was
no,
free.
Brian, you're wrong.
No,
no, you are wrong.
No, it's no. Listen.
No, Brian, but it's not for the game. You're paying for one car.
I know, but if I felt like the game was worth supporting the developers and it was a free game to begin with, and I was like, well, I like the game, so I'm going to buy that to support them and future endeavors.
But here's the thing. You know it's not a good developer if they want you to pay that much. Now, if it's something, if it's pay what you want, then if you want to get 50, I'm all for it. But if they're saying like, hey, we built this, car that probably took like a couple weeks to make, give us $100 for it. No.
Besides the fact that the car is probably completely overpowered and anyone that has it automatically wins every race ever.
Anyone that buys that is an immediate idiot. You are the dumbest person playing video games right now. That is just the stupidest thing in the world. Not only is Need for Speed World not really a good game, it's pretty broken, but $100 for a car. There's nothing. It's one thing if it's pay what you want.
It's fake.
Yeah, but it's fake. You're not getting anything out of it. I don't even know what to say. I hate EA.
They did the whole Tetris thing, right? I mean, how much worse can it get?
Yeah.
I thought that was Activision.
No. EA did the Tetris thing. They want you to pay for T Club.
We need to have like a debate between who's worse, EA or Activision.
We should, actually. That'd be good. Well, we'll have like two people take one side and two people take the other.
I can't even think of what side I would take right now. I'm trying to weigh some of the options of what was worse.
EA's coming back there with some pretty evil stuff here, so.
Yeah.
I mean, Activision is pure evil, but I mean, EA was like evil but started to change their ways a little bit, but now it's seeping back in. I don't know. Look forward to that in the future sometime.
Yeah,
future maybe. Podcast sometime next never.
That's the date.
The second Tuesday of next week, we'll be doing that.
Second Tuesday of next never.
You want to talk a little about the Vita?
Yeah, let's talk about the Vita.
Does anyone really want to talk about the Vita anymore?
How awesome is the Vita?
I feel like we've been complaining a lot this podcast. Mostly me.
What's mostly what our news is about, though.
Yeah, we have a bunch of gripes this time around.
It's just bad news.
It's a slow news week. It's been a slow news month. And the only news that's coming out is all horrible news.
I know, it's so depressing.
I know. What's wrong with the industry?
Even my chances of getting the Vita, like, I was thinking, okay, $250, trying to think of if I could come up with that money, right? The more and more things come out, it's just like, this isn't $250 anymore. I'm getting up to like $400.
Yeah, no wonder they made it $250.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, yay, and then they tack on all the extra stuff.
So it's going to end up being like buying a new console from them.
That's their whole idea, is to basically build a console, a portable console. But hey, most of us don't want that, Sony. Sorry, Sony, that you've been stuck in this mindset of not knowing what gamers want, but you've been doing that for a while.
What we don't want is to spend a lot of money, also. You'd think that companies would learn from their mistakes, right?
Yeah, but they're Japanese. Like, the Japanese are very set in their ways about certain things, especially when it comes to the game. And not that the Japanese doesn't put out a lot of great games. And
They also put out a lot of terrible games.
They also put out, yeah, and they also are very stuck in their ways. But I'd also argue that they have some of the most original games out there, too. So,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, so onto the PS Vita. So the first thing, a growing trend, which is sad to see, but the PS Vita will not have game manuals.
What a surprise. I'm used to it now. I mean, it really doesn't bother me anymore. Like, I'm just used to it.
Yeah, but it should bother you. You shouldn't just get used to it, Devin.
I'm used to it now. I've accepted it.
You're the problem with gamers right now.
I'm the problem. Oh, boy.
You're the worst.
You're the reason why games are terrible now.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, honestly, a lot of people out there don't care, so for their sake, it's a good thing, but not for us who care. It's almost a slap. Like, I'm getting used to it, not that I like it, but like, I open up and look at the game manual, want to get a new game, and it's just like, oh, hey, it's two pieces of paper or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even if they do have game manuals, what are they really? A paper that's folded?
Yeah. So yeah, they're not going to have any game manuals on the PS Vita, which is, it doesn't matter because no one's going to buy anything for that anyway. So
you just said that you're going to get the Vita.
No, I didn't say that I was going to get it. Maybe the other week or something, but I want to get it. I do want to get it on launch because there's a lot of appealing things about the actual system.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I'm hearing from Sony, Sony doesn't know how to make products that people want.
At least not at first. They just make a lot of mistakes to get up there.
I think it gets worse because we love the PS1 And I absolutely love the PS2. I think PS2 is one of my favorite systems, if not...
Yeah. Well, they made an improvement there. They went from PS1 to PS2, and I think the PS2...
Those are both great. PS3, piece of junk. PSP...
The actual PS3 itself is a piece of junk?
Just everything they handle about the PS3 is crappy.
Are you talking about the games?
Both. PSP is a piece of junk.
Yeah, it's pretty
junky. And then now the PS Vita is coming out looking like junk. Who knows? We can't say for sure until it comes out in February. But
we're going to tentatively say it's junk.
It's out in Japan, so like some places have been covering it already. But I've been trying to...
Yeah, it came out in December, didn't it?
Yeah, it just came out this past week. So I've been trying to not see too much on it so I can save myself fresh for when I actually get to start playing one. But anyway, let's get back on topic about PS Vita.
No more manuals.
No more manuals.
That's enough to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that
anymore. Yeah, there's no more on that. We've already covered that. But the PS Vita can also... Or it can't hold one. It can only hold one PSN account. So there's been kind of some back and forth about this. And Devin wrote an article up on Pixel Perfect regarding this.
And got bashed.
So yeah, the PS Vita can only hold one PSN account. And there's been some kind of back and forth. Like Sony said that. And then a bunch of people were like, oh no, that's not true. You can hold multiple accounts. But now it's confirmed. It can only have one PSN account.
Unless they change their mind again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they have any reasoning behind this decision?
I don't know. Maybe game sharing, I think, is what they might be concerned about, is that people might start logging into other systems. Because you could do that with the PS3. You could easily, you know, recover an account and share a game on a different account and stuff like that.
They're already trying to take that away. I mean, they already basically did. Because you used to be able to do that on multiple consoles or whatever, like 5 or something, but now you can only do it like on 2 to recover your PSN account. I mean, so you can do it on your PSP and your PS3.
I just feel like something like that is just like poor programming. How hard is it to tie it to just one account? Like, how hard is that? I can tell you for a fact, it's not hard.
I work at Sony. I know what's going on.
Well, no, I can tell you from a programming standpoint, it's not hard to have something. I mean, there can be glitches in the system, but it's not hard to have one piece of software say, you are only workable with this particular user. That's not hard, giving permissions to one particular user. So why the whole idea? I guess what we should ask Devin is what's the issue with having one? Like, why don't you like that they're saying you can only have one account on the Vita?
I guess if I want somebody else to play it, and if I have to, because you have to factory reset it then. If you want somebody else to play it, but not, like, mess with your stuff, right? So that's just kind of, like, a bummer. Like, why would you have to do something like that if you want other people to even play on your Vita?
Right.
It's a handheld. I mean, if you're going places, and if you're with friends, or you go to a friend's house, and you just want to take your Vita to play, and if they want to play something, I mean, why do I have to... I mean, I should just only have to change my memory card and be fine, and they should be able to put theirs in. But no, it still has my stuff on there, on the Vita itself as well. I think it's just dumb. There's no reason for that. Because it seemed possible, especially when Sony said that. before they backtracked to saying that it was only going to be on the Vita and the memory card. I mean, they did say that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean...
They did change their mind.
I don't know if they changed their mind or if it was miscommunicated, but either way, they've been going back and forth.
That would be my gripe, but... It's not really that big of a deal because I don't know how many people I would let them play my Vita anyway.
Yeah, for me personally, it's not a big deal because, it's not a big deal in the sense that it's not going to affect me, but I don't like it because I don't have a lot of people that are going to be playing my handheld and you know, need to sign into different accounts and stuff like that. And I don't even know how many people out there are in that situation, but people are in that situation. But even furthermore, what is wrong with Sony wanting to have such this closed, controlled system all of a sudden? Why do they care? So you can make an infinite amount
security
of PSN accounts. I mean, maybe this is a result of like the hacking, something like that. Maybe they're just trying to get tired about security in general. But
could be
when you start screwing over customers, it doesn't help improve the experience for customers. I mean, a lot of people won't care about this. This doesn't affect them. It's not something that is going to be that big of a deal. But systems need to be... It needs to be more open. It needs to allow for multiple accounts and multiple ways. If I want someone else to play something, and I, you know, like, what if there's a boyfriend and girlfriend and they want to have their own accounts, and they don't want to share, you know, the same exact account. They don't want them playing on their data. Well, you can't.
You need two Vitas.
Well, yeah. Why don't you shell out another, like, $500 or whatever this dumb handheld's going to cost?
That's what I do with my fiance, is whenever she plays one of my games, I made her a profile on my Xbox, because she was overwriting some of my games, and I was doing the same thing by accident. And I was, so I just made her a profile on my Xbox to play. And it...
That's it. Simple.
It basically, it theoretically locks the person out of messing up with the data. It separates it, so it's not exactly easy to mess up.
Yeah, and all your girlfriend should have, when you if you had your own Vita, is just to have a separate memory card to put in without losing your stuff.
I wouldn't mind it if you, like, if you had different profiles, but the same account, like, different users, I guess, maybe, more accurately. Do you know what I'm saying, though? Then it would make sense. Like, you could have a guest user, so the guests wouldn't be able to mess with your data by accident, and you would have your own, you know, your friends.
None of this stuff is hard to do. That's a problem that's most... I mean, okay, I don't know. I don't fully understand their system. But I can tell you from programming background that I have, that making multiple profiles for things like this and tying data, like save files, to one system is not anything that is complicated at all. So I'm completely at a loss of why this even exists.
I can't even think of a good security reason at all.
Me either, other than them trading games. But how hard? It's not hard to tie one game. Say, like, this account, like my Xbox Live gamer tag, has a list, a database somewhere. It says these are the games that Mr. Noodle owns. These are the games that he can download.
And these are the consoles that X, Y, and Z game has been downloaded on with Mr. Noodle's account. And then when they find out that it's down on six different things and it's been played on X, Y, and Z on different days back and forth, like, oh, well, I guess he's stealing games.
I don't get how it writes your save games or whatever you have on your memory card and your Vita, so that when you take your memory card out and somebody puts their memory card in, while you have to even if you factory reset it, like, what do you lose if it's already written on your memory card as well?
I don't know. Why do we have to factory reset? Well, factory reset's going to wipe everything out.
Yeah, but, okay. On your Vita, but you have your card in your hand.
Right.
Which has all your stuff on it.
Right.
So when your friend's done and you have to factory reset again and you put your memory card in, do you still have your stuff? Everything you had before? It's just a matter of doing?
No one knows anything, Sony, because you don't make any sense.
I'm not very clear with that. Well, if it's out in Japan, why don't we get any confirmation that way?
No, I'm not confirming anything before we talk about it. Screw that. I'm just kidding.
I get it.
We just make up horrible opinions as we go, whether or not we fact check them or not. So the Vita, are you guys even interested at this point in purchasing the Vita?
Nope.
Only somebody buys it for me.
Hey, Sony, why don't you give us a Vita for free?
Now that we promoted your product.
Now that we've bashed your product and your company. Is there any other news? Is there any positive news that we can talk about? Anything positive coming out? The Nintendo 3DS. Actually, did you see all the ambassador games that are out for the 3DS? Some really good games out there.
I know. It makes me so mad they don't have it already. And I didn't get it before in between the price drop and not being able to get the ambassador games.
I know. And, like, we don't have access to these games at all, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the worst part.
This batch, no games.
So here are the games. Super Mario Advance 3 Yoshi's Island, Mario Kart Super Circuit, Metroid Fusion, WarioWare Inc. Mega Micro Games, Mario vs. Donkey Kong, Wario Land 4, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones, Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap, and F-Zero Maximum Velocity.
So awesome.
Those are all really good games. I love those games. And I've played most of those games. I haven't played the Kirby one, but
they're all advanced games too.
Yeah, they're all Game Boy Advance games. And it just sucks that we have no way. I mean, yeah, I can just I can emulate them on my Android phone and play them, but I'd rather, you know, play like an official one on my 3DS that I don't have.
That I don't have. Yeah, it really does suck that they don't even make it an option for us to buy them.
The funny thing is, like, the 3DS has, like, no good games right now, and...
Everyone wants these old ones to just be ported on.
It's like, oh, crap, I need to get a 3DS so I can get these old Advance games.
Are they in 3D, though?
No, they're just straight up ports.
Oh. Then I'd rather just buy an advance or dust it off.
So when did these come out, Jared? Are they already out?
Yeah, they're all available now. As of now. So that's a positive note.
Okay, we're positive. We're good.
Well, let me ask you a question then.
Alrighty.
Do you guys think that pirating is a legitimate form of protest and it would actually be able to change anything? Like, if a company starts losing a lot of money on a game because everyone's pirating it, do you think they might change for the better?
A lot of people are dumb and don't know how to pirate.
No, I think a lot of people actually do know how to pirate, but they don't know. Like, they know how to download stuff, but they don't always know how to get it working.
But it's different to if you're talking about exclusively non-PC games, because then you have a problem of being able to have a modded Xbox or whatever and being able to burn it. That's a lot more lengthy of a process.
He's not talking about that, Devin.
What are you talking about?
My little thing with Activision.
Well, he's not asking, do you think people are able to do that? He's just saying,
well, if people want to torrent and have these games and not buy them, then they have to be able to do this.
But that's irrelevant. You're thinking too much into it. He's just saying, is it a legitimate way to protest something?
And protest requires a lot of people doing it.
Yeah, sure. And that's pretty easy to do when people are getting free product out of it.
I think you're misunderstanding. I don't think you understand how many people actually pirate games. Like, and it's not a lot of people. It's not like this hidden thing like people torrenting games. Like, there's a lot. Like, everyone.
I know there is.
Like, using torrents and stuff, like, everyone acts like, oh.
Well, if a lot of people do it now already, then it doesn't matter. And it's not. Obviously, it wouldn't work then. Because, I mean, if a form of protest, I mean, a lot of people already do it. There's no protest there.
Yeah, but if you're doing it in the form of protest. Like, a lot of people set themselves on fire because they're stupid and such. But some people set themselves on fire in the form of protest, and it means something completely different.
That's just, like, that statement in general, completely out of context. A lot of people set themselves on fire.
No.
Just a general statement.
No, I don't get it then. I mean, are you going to be like, oh, I'm pirating, we're all going to send them a message, we're pirating your game. Like, what kind of protest are you doing? You're just downloading the game.
Well, no, the whole point is saying, like, we're not going to pay you for your game. We want to play your game, but for reasons X, Y, and Z, it's not worth paying for or something. Because
company decided to sue Notch for the word scrolls, we are no longer going to pay you for your game, but we're going to play it.
And you're going to get, like, a world mass to not buy that game and instead pirate it.
Depending on the developer, that can cause huge waves.
I mean, even if you get like 20 or 30% of the people that would buy it, which is a lot, would buy a game to pirate it instead. I mean, that's a significant chunk of change off of what the developer... It might send a message to them. It might not.
I guess it depends what game you're talking about, because you would never be able to do that with a Call of Duty.
Well, obviously.
There are way too many people that are too dumb that don't know what pirating is. And they wouldn't be able to do
it. I think we all agree that everyone who plays Call of Duty competitively is way too stupid to begin with.
Well, yeah, they just all want to buy it. Like, they won't even think twice.
Only if they play, if they only play Call of Duty.
crap, what was I going to say?
Yeah,
it's not that they're too dumb to pirate. It's not that, it's just like they wouldn't care enough.
That
like,
too.
Whatever's happening, they wouldn't care enough. Okay, so... The question is, do you think it's a legitimate form of protest in general? Besides the developer, do you think it's a good way to protest?
Like, I guess this is a two-pronged question. Do you think it could possibly be effective? And do you think it would... I mean, would you recognize that as someone protesting if they were doing that? Or would you just say, oh, they're an idiot and walk away?
I think you're hurting yourself if your platform is that... We're going to steal your game if you don't fix this or whatever the issue is. I think the better thing to do is to all agree that you're not going to buy the game until whatever said issue is resolved. Because you can't... It's like saying, if you don't stop committing this crime, I'm going to commit another crime or something like that. It makes no sense. It's you can't really champion your cause when you're doing something wrong also. Two wrongs don't make a right.
But three do.
Yeah, but two lefts do. Or three left, whatever.
Yeah, but if you go north, you get there.
One left makes a south.
What?
A lot of people set themselves on fire.
I mean, my vision of protest, I mean, that comes clearly to mind is, like, you know, the whole, like, people holding up signs outside of a building, like, we no more, I don't know.
That's your only thought of what a protest is?
No, but that's, like, a form of it, right? And so you have to let them know that you're protesting and, like, what you're doing by
protesting. Well, that's what we mean. It's not, like, something silent where, like, you and your friends are just like, we're going to pirate this.
I understand that's, like, a huge mass thing, but then it's, like, you have to let the developers know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's implied that that's going to happen. That's what a protest is.
Okay.
You get, like, 50 or 60 people to send an email from, like, a library or something if they're worried about their IP address.
Get, like, so specific.
I'm just trying to talk and see if it's feasible, because it seems very impossible. Like, it can never happen. If it's not going to be feasible in the first place, what's the reason?
That's not
about?
True at all. The Sarcastic Gamer had a mass for Battlefield Bad Company 2. They wanted you to pay, like, extra money or something like that to get these golden weapons. It was really stupid. So Sarcastic Gamer started this huge boycott that a ton of people got behind, and EA changed. They didn't require you to pay or whatever it is. I couldn't remember the exact scenario, but there was, like, these golden weapons and you had to pay for them or something, and they changed their stance on it. Now, they didn't say they were going to pirate it, but they sent it to EA. They in mass had tons of people from their website, and they contacted other websites like Destructoid to promote it, to get it out there, and it made a difference. So, like, it's definitely feasible. You don't have to stand outside with signs for that to work.
Well, I understand that, but
obviously that doesn't work because you got the hippies Occupy Wall Street.
I don't think it would work.
I don't think piracy would work. Because
it's one thing if you boycott. I mean, obviously, if you have tons of people boycotting and they're not getting money from it, they're going to do something. That just makes sense.
Well, I mean, pirating, you're still losing money. But the difference is you can't, like I said, you can't champion your cause when you're doing something just as wrong.
I don't think pirating is just as wrong as what some companies do.
But you can't, it's wrong is wrong, though. It's you can't split that. You can't say, like, it's like saying, well, I'm hungry, so it's okay to steal. Well, no, it's never okay to steal, no matter how hungry you are. So it's like the same thing, like, yeah, you're getting screwed in this sense, but it's never okay to steal.
But it's always okay to not buy a product.
It's always okay to bash them on your podcast.
Exactly. So are we starting a protest? Is that why you brought this up?
Yeah, who are we protesting? Who are we boycotting?
Is this the whole Activision thing again? Yeah,
Activision.
I will not buy any more Call of Duties. All right, check, did that.
We will bash Activision on our podcast, check.
I will not buy any more Guitar Heroes, check, did that.
There's probably some games you've bought that were from Activision, Jared.
There are games I've bought from Activision. I bought some of the early Tony Hawks, which, who's excited about the Tony Hawk HD remake?
Heck yeah. Although it's only 1 and 2.
Which is awesome.
What about 3?
What about 3? 3's cool and all, but, like, 1 included. And 2 are all, like, 2 is amazing. Who doesn't love Tony Hawk 2?
Yeah, 2 is my favorite.
Oh, 2 and 4.
2 and 4 are my favorite. I thought you really liked 3.
I did like 3, but it's not. No. I love 2 and 4. I played 2 on the Dreamcast and then 4 on the Xbox.
Which one was the one that introduced that one where you didn't just go through the level on a time limit every single time?
4.
No, Thug.
No. No.
That was
what?
Tony Hawk Underground. I liked the first Underground a lot.
4, you weren't on a time limit?
Yeah, you were.
No, you weren't.
I don't mind. I didn't mind the time limit in general, like, but I just didn't. I like the sandbox.
Here,
type
4,
thing.
They just had people around, and you go and talk to them, and then you do, like, stuff for them. That was the first one you had to do that.
Are you sure?
Underground came after that. And Underground actually had a story to it, is what you're talking about. The other ones didn't really have a story. Well, no, I don't think the other ones had a story. But yeah, Tony Hawk 4 was the first one you didn't have. You weren't just dropped in an area in a time of, like,
right.
3
That's
minutes.
That's right. I am thinking of a story. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 4 was like that.
4 was hard too.
Yeah.
Dude, bro, learn your Tony Hawks.
I'm the best person here at Tony Hawk 4 and 2 and every Tony
bring
Hawk.
Bring it, bring it.
What's your best combo?
Bring it.
A bajillion. We're going to have a Tony Hawk
absolutely
competition in the future.
And I'm going to beat you.
We'll get together.
And it's going to be on the PS2.
What, for Tony Hawk 4?
Has to be a PS2.
Yeah, we're not playing on the Dreamcast.
Tony Hawk 4 didn't come out on the Dreamcast.
No, you said 2, though, right?
Oh, Tony Hawk 2? I'll play that on anything and beat you.
Absolutely.
Oh no.
Oh, it's on now.
You have no idea what you just said.
Devin, you're terrible.
Well, you may have known what you just said, but you have no idea.
You don't know what you just said.
You don't even know, dude. I don't know. I don't know which one I'm better at, 2 or 4, but
I'm gonna say none of them.
I'm pretty sure I could take you at both.
I doubt that. I guarantee.
I'm not sure why you're laughing about that, because you've like never seen me play either of them.
The heck I haven't.
And I'm pretty sure I beat you in horse when we played at winter. At
horse Asia. Literally means nothing.
You don't mean anything.
It's about best combo.
That's how we're gonna play it. Best combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's not horse. I mean, that is horse, but that's not the...
That is horse. It's best combo. And
no, there's other ones. There's other ones that aren't just that. Horse gives you such a limited time to do setup and stuff like that. We could do it all. We'll play every game. Every single mode in Tony Hawk, we're going to play it. Each one 3 times, best out of 3 out of each of those. Then we add up the numbers.
And then we divide them by 27, and we play 5 more times.
And then we just flip a coin.
And then we just flip a coin at the end. We have like this huge bracket set up.
Let's start a Tony Hawk tournament.
Yeah, I love Tony Hawk. I wish. Hey, the Tony Hawk remake thing. You think you can play that online?
I think so.
I don't see why not.
I don't see why we can't just put that in ourselves. Let's end our podcast with this all speaking noise.
Oh god.
Okay. Alright, anyway,
this is going downhill. So join us for next week for
Hey, thanks for listening to episode 15 of Between the Pixels. I'm Jared.
It's 17.
17?
No, we don't do this. 15,
and I'm Brian.
And we're not doing this at the end.
Yeah, why not?
And I'm Brian.
Hey, thanks for joining. Remember, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the respective speakers and not those of Pixel Perfect's its staff or advertisers.
Not necessarily.
Jared, can you just introduce us?
I was doing it off the top of my head. Hey, we're like on Twitter, BTWN The Pixels. Follow the main website at The Pixel Perfect. Email us at btwnthepixels@pixelperfectmag.com. Email us stuff. Guys, like Pixel Perfect on Facebook.
We're on iTunes, Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Actors. I don't know. What else is there?
Activision.
Yeah, subscribe to us at Activision.
Subscribe to Activision. Follow Activision on Twitter.
Subscribe to us through the T-Club.
Yeah, follow us on the Twitter Club. Or the Tetris Club.
The Tetris Club.
I was going to say, what the heck are you talking about?
Subscribe to Tony Hawk on Twitter. Follow Gary Busey on Twitter. Is Gary Busey on Twitter?
Dude, I'm following him right now.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you. I don't think anybody ever gets to the end of our podcast ever.
No one ever listens. The minute that we start saying, like, thanks for tuning, click.
People just download our podcast and listen the first 10 seconds. They get their fill of the intro. And
they just like listening to Onomatoguchi. So they're always
exactly
like, listening to that.
Oh, I had something really important to say, but now I forget.
I doubt that. Mark.
Mark.
Oh, I thought we were going to do it. Mark.
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 Mark. And then you guys try to match me on the fourth one. We'll work on it for next week.
We could do that with row your row, row, row
boat.
Your boat gently down Dream. The
stream. Row, row, Dream. Row your boat.
No, no, no. You're supposed to come in, Moose.
I don't get it.
Like, you come in after I'm done with the stream part, and you see if you can keep going. And then
you
after,
always come in after the stream.
After 2 lines, right? The next person comes in. And after those 2 lines, the next person comes in. If we can get all 3 of us going without messing up.
Okay, but we have to incorporate that we're online and the delay. So start a couple seconds beforehand and it might match up. Or then I guess when we could do this. Could we just make this the podcast where we're trying to get this to work?
Okay, let's make this the beginning of our podcast, okay?
Let's just make it, what, us singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat?
Yeah.
Right. I was getting ready for it. I'm sorry.
All right, who's going first? Me?
Yeah, it was your idea.
I hope I know the rest of the words to the song.
How do you not?
On row, row, row your boat,
row,
gently
row,
down
row
the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Oh, I can't
row,
do this shit.
Row, row, row your boat. No. All right, Brian, Devin.
Brian, you didn't even come in once.
No, he did, but he came in way too early.
He came in way too late, too. Brian, your tempo is just way off.
He came in late and early at the same time.
God, it's like I'm sucking and blowing at the same time.
You don't know whether you're coming or going. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream.
Row, row,
merrily,
row
merrily,
your boat
merrily, merrily,
down
life
the
is
stream.
But a dream.
Row, 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 row your boat, boat gently down the stream.
Wait, why? Why are we going merrily, the same time,
merrily,
Jared?
Merrily, merrily, life is but.
Row, row, row your boat.
Brian, do you know any more of the words? Because all you said was the stream, and then you stopped.
I'm tired, dude. I don't think I do.
You can't do it with that song because there's only like four lines.
So, merrily, so merrily, merrily, three people, merrily, life is but a dream. And then you just repeat it.
When you have three people, me and Jared sing at the same time, the same thing.
That's not true.
Yeah, because when I restarted, you were coming in.
No, but Devin stopped. That's why I stopped.
No, Devin didn't stop. It's because for some reason Devin's mic makes him quiet when other people are talking.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, that's why. Okay.
That's
why,
everyone talks over me.
Like if Devin's talking, one of us just comes in, it starts, like, it just brings, or maybe
it's
Skype
like, what you say is not important.
But it only really happens with Devin.
What I say apparently is not important.
It only does it to Devin's mic.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get this podcast started. Hello and welcome to the 15th episode of Between the Pixels. Row your boat, I'm Jared.